Let's please do turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started and finished the book of Jude. That's a short book, and we covered that. Last week, we had a special service of Jeremy being ordained as for the ministry of pastor. And by the way, there's DVDs of that service over on the side table. And so why are we going to Genesis? Well, again, one of the reasons we're trying to populate our website ministry with MP3s of every book of the Bible. And since it was shortly after we started the church that we did Genesis, which was a few years ago, that it would be good to do Genesis again. It's also the book of beginnings. It's every major doctrine of the Bible goes back to the book of Genesis. Every, you know, when we really think as Christians in our desire to know God, to serve Him, to know as we become servants of Him, bond slaves of God through Jesus Christ, it's like, who is this God that we serve? How powerful is He? Everything in history started in this miraculous book of Genesis, starting from the creation. In fact, the book of Genesis is quoted more than 60 times in the New Testament. And there's many people that they never go to the Old Testament. They think that's old news when they're reading the New Testament. But the New Testament's always referring back to the old news, which makes the old news not old news. It's all intertwined. That's one of the miracles of the Bible, is that over 40 authors over 1,500 years are writing under inspiration of one Holy Spirit, of one God, creating one message. It's when you read the Bible, it's all intertwined. And that could not have happened by normal human just sitting down, I think I'm going to write a book today and join with 40 other people writing a book that over 1,500 years. See, it is truly inspired by God. And as we know that many, as we covered a couple weeks ago in our Jude study, many churches are saying, the more you teach the Bible, the more people are going to leave your churches. And there's a desire more and more, and I'm reading more stuff about this emerging church, and, you know, we shouldn't preach to the Buddhists about needing Jesus. We should just learn from their religion. You know, church is losing its ability to meditate, and we should learn from our Buddhist friends how to meditate, because they do that so much better than Christians. And they say that, you know, just sitting around studying doctrine, that's old. People don't want that anymore. Well, Jesus sat around teaching doctrine. The apostles spent their life teaching doctrine. They kept on referring back to doctrines of apostles and prophets of the past that have laid down, this is the God that we serve. This is how we avoid the deceptions of Satan and the things that keep us away from this true and living God. And so we're just going to keep doing it. And it's such an important foundation. It forms our worldview. What do we think when we walk out there in the world, that it all happened by time and chance, or that in the beginning, God? And you know, you take in the beginning, God, and your life is completely different than in the beginning, time and chance over, you know, mutations brought, you know, nothing into something. And your whole life is changed by those two views, one or the other. So we're going to see that it's the creation account that we're going to cover today and next week. And I want to just tell you that we are so much better off as Christians today in the topic of creation than Christians were 100 years ago. 100 years ago when, you know, Darwin and naturalist views of the creation of the solar system were coming about, there was no science that, you know, really people were so wanting to believe in evolution, so wanting to believe in the naturalist view of the cosmos, that Christians were going, well, you know, we don't know what to tell you in conflict with that. We just don't, you know, all we have is the Bible. Well, now science, billions of dollars worth of scientific probes and everything else have gone up, you know, space telescopes, comet probes, everything else, and guess what? The evidence is coming back in the beginning, God. Because there is no other explanation. And we're going to cover some of these things as we go through. Of course, they're not going to say it interprets in the beginning God, but their views of how it all happened with the Big Bang are all coming back. Your view is wrong. In fact, many scientists are starting to sign documents saying the Big Bang is dead as a theory. That Darwinian over 500 scientists have signed a statement saying that Darwinian evolution is impossible. And, you know, they don't say impossible. They say there is problems with Darwinian evolution. I'll read you the exact quote next week when we cover it. Increasingly, scientists are too embarrassed to hold to these broken theories. They know it can't happen. And you should take comfort as a Christian that this is the truth. So Genesis, written by Moses. This book of Genesis progresses from the creation to the fall of man, to the flood of Noah, to the Tower of Babel, to the calling of Abraham. That Abraham was a man living in an idolatrous country, and God saw that he didn't want to be idolatrous. Call Abraham, I'm going to make you a special people. I'm going to take you to a special land. Your descendants are going to be inheritors of this very special land. Those descendants are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's 12 sons, Israel. Israel, you're going to receive this land, Canaan, someday. And then the book of Genesis ends with those 12 sons of Jacob, their descendants in Egypt, after Joseph had basically brought them there, and they're waiting in Egypt for the time of the Exodus, which is the next book of the Bible. And so that's how Genesis starts and ends. So we're going to read the first 19 verses of Genesis just to get an idea. We're not going to cover that many verses today, but just to let it kind of sink in just by reading this scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters, and he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herbs of the fields, and seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. And actually, we'll stop there because we're going to go about that far today. And just realizing that, we either are going to take the account that there was this, infinitely powerful, intelligent force. Because the Bible says that God is not like man. He hasn't got flesh and blood. He is a spirit, and those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in the beginning there was this force that just said, "I'm going to make," and he made. He spoke and it happened. That it was created. And as we go through this, we are going to look at some of the evidences of these scientific projects that have gone out there and seen that there has got to be a force. In fact, when I mentioned the fact that this paraplegic that was healed received a vision about how a pastor would be dressed, was told which church to go to. And within a matter of minutes, she was in the Mayo Clinic, where the Mayo Clinic was seeing the most prestigious hospital dealing with this disease. And here she is in the Mayo Clinic. They're deciding whether she has to be forever the rest of her life, if there's anything they can do to just help her stay out of a hospital as a young girl. And they're basically deciding she can't. She can't go in. She can't be helped at all. But she receives this vision. She goes and gets prayed for by some Christians, a small group of Christians. In fact, she gets led to a small church. And a small group of people who aren't even sitting there saying, really, well, we'll pray because God gave you a vision. But boy, this is praying for cerebral palsy with somebody that's a paraplegic. And everything in the world's been done for you and nothing has happened. And they pray for her and she gets up out of the chair. It takes a loving, supreme intelligence, because we're talking, there would have had to have been billions of cells in her brain that had been killed by cerebral palsy, the lack of oxygen that had just deadened her brain, not able to talk, not able to walk. And something had to touch her. And that story can be told over and over again, thousands of times. And the unbelieving world, what explanation do they have? They don't have their millions of years for those brain cells to get better. They don't have, you know, the survival of the fittest. They don't have anything. There is no explanation. There's a supreme being and he cares for us. He loves us. He breathed this creation into existence for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Understood by the Jews is God created the universe and the earth. Well, the earth is part of the universe. Why don't you say, in the beginning, God created the heavens? Now, created everything that's in him. He created the heavens, and by the way, something special, the earth. And you know, when you look at pictures of the solar system that we now have, and you look at the planets, and then you look at earth, and there's something very unique about earth. The way it looks, the way it's unique and how much water it contains. In fact, I was talking to Dr. Walt Brown, which I've got a book here and I'll be talking about that here in a minute, but last night he and I were talking and he was listening to and watching actually a video of a recent little unofficial press conference with Dr. Brownlee, who's from the University of Washington, about Stardust, the Stardust space probe that caught comet material. And a few weeks ago, before it landed, I went on record to say he was going to be surprised at what they found, and he's surprised at what they found. And in that meeting, he was saying, you know, the Earth is unique. He even was acknowledging, people, we have come to grips with how unique this Earth really is. This is a planet full of oxygen. There's no oxygen out there in the rest of the universe. A planet full of carbon. Carbon is so rare in the rest of the universe. The Big Bang Theory can't explain why this Earth is this Earth. It is so contrary to what normal evolutionary Big Bang Theory would say. And basically they'd have to say that the best theory that we have is the Earth doesn't exist. But it does. And they say the same thing about the moon, by the way. This one guy was saying, you know, out of all the theories of the moon, which are impossible, it's impossible that the moon is there. So the best theory about the moon is that the moon's not there. Because God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and actually we'll find out that he made the moon. Boom, and it's there, and there's no explanation for how it could get there. But the earth is very, very unique. And so he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, obviously, this in the beginning God creates a problem for our evolution friends, which are actually our atheist friends. They have a religious belief that there is no God. And so when you have a book saying in the beginning God, right there, their religion doesn't allow them to accept that fact. Now, Darwin, back in the 1800s, he basically gave the religion of atheism the ability to say, well, you know, we've got an explanation for how man came into being. And so then the cosmologists, they sit there and they go, and we'll try and help you out, because if there is no God necessary for man, then we also have to deal with this universe. We have to deal with the stars and the moon and the sun and the universe and the galaxies, which was very unknown really at the time. I mean, it was mostly just looking up. A little bit they were learning from telescopes and stuff, but you know, we'll help you out. We'll come up with the Big Bang Theory, which has been taught in our society to our children as the source of the universe. Forget God. So the religious people of atheism took over our school system, said that you must believe the Big Bang Theory. What does the Big Bang Theory say? The Big Bang Theory says, and this is true about atoms, we know that there's a nucleus of the atom and there's electrons flowing around that. And actually, they know that this model is not perfect, but it works okay, good enough to make bombs anyway. But there's huge space between a nucleus and electron. Well, if you could collapse all of the matter in the universe, get rid of all the space between all atomic particles in the universe, which is a pretty incredible feat, but if you could, you end up with a basketball. That's hard to imagine, you know, you sit there and you look at all the stuff that's out there. And so they say, well, in the beginning, they call it the cosmic egg, that this cosmic egg of everything that's in the universe was in the size of a basketball with almost infinite gravity, infinite compression, and then it decided to explode. And basically, that was almost nothing, that the entire universe was nothing and then it exploded. And then the thing that the evolutionists will, and you can ask the evolutionists, well, where did all that stuff there's nothing except for this basketball worth of stuff that exploded to go be the rest of the universe. Where did that stuff come from? See, they want to buy, well, where did God come from? Well, where did your cosmic basketball come from? You know, take your pick. You tell me where your cosmic basketball came from, and I'll tell you where God came from. Well, something must have made my cosmic basketball. Yep, it was God. Only he didn't make it in a basketball to then explode. At least the science says that that's impossible. Theories are great, you know, so they had a theory, and there's some Christians who say, okay, God used the Big Bang. That's how he did. You know, when God explained it in Genesis 1, what he really was saying is instead of, you know, in the beginning God created and then he created the sun, the moon, what he really meant was he created a Big Bang and just let everything go off and be something after it blew up. But most people would not take their 65 Volkswagen, blow it up and say, why'd you blow up your car? Well, because I'm willing it to my ancestors, and a few million years from now, it's going to be an SUV. It's 100% scientifically proven that explosions ruin things. They don't make things. They don't make planets. They don't make people. They don't make things. They destroy things. But the religion requires this explosion theory. So they said, well, it all exploded. And then they made predictions. They made predictions of what you would expect if that is what happened. If you had your cosmic basketball and it blew up and within an infinitesimal amount of time, it expands out. Then they said, you know, we send space probes when we start being able to explore space. They said, okay, we'll go out and research. We'll be able to prove this is what's happened. And this is what we should see. And you and I have been compliments of NASA. We've been pickpocketed billions of dollars to go and prove the Big Bang theory. And our money has not been well spent for them. It's been wonderfully spent for us. Because everything that they have found contradicts what you would predict if the Big Bang were true. In fact, this is no creationist that said this. It was Peter Coles who wrote in Nature, which is not a seminary publication. It's a science journal. The title of his article was "The End of the Old Model Universe," meaning the Big Bang. And this was in 1998, page 741 of Nature, volume 393, in 25 June 98. Observations only recently made possible by improvements in astronomical instrumentation have put theoretical models of the universe, meaning Big Bang, under intense pressure. We've recently been able to go and discover this stuff and we're in trouble. Big Bang's in trouble. The standard ideas of the 1980s about the shape and history of the universe have now been abandoned, and cosmologists are now taking seriously the possibility that the universe is pervaded by some sort of vacuum energy whose origin is not at all understood. So we know Big Bang is dead. We don't want to go to that in the beginning God stuff. And so now we got to come up with this vacuum energy that we don't ask us to define it. Don't ask us to tell you what the science is behind vacuum energy, but it's there and it made the universe. And so, I say this to let you guys know that it's still taught in the schools. And people say, oh, how old is the Earth? 6,000 years? Oh, yeah, sure. And they treat us like fools. But the evidence is saying that their theory is dead. It's dead. It's on the table. It's hooked up to life support. It's intravenously being fed. Why? Because there's thousands, tens of thousands of religious pundits bowing down to this God of atheism. And they realize that if he's declared dead, if he's stuck into the ground, they have nothing. They've lost. And I feel sorry for them, actually, because their God is dead, along with the Big Bang and along with Darwin. So why, and I know some of this, and I'm just pointing it out, there's handouts on the side table that deal with this too, but why did they think Big Bang? They said, well, when you hear a train coming down a track, the sound of it coming towards you is different than the sound going away. or the sound of a car coming towards you is different than a car going away. It's called the Doppler effect when you're talking about sound. There's also a thing called redshift, which is the same exact thing, but it has to do with light spectrums. You can tell whether a star is coming or going away. And so the scientists, they said, hey, look at the redshift. The stars and galaxies are moving away. And that proves that there was a Big Bang. So they started looking at it. And see, the idea is that this Big Bang explodes this cosmic basketball. And that means that by the laws of conservation of energy, after it's moving away, its potential energy is building up, so its speed has to slow down. And so everything's moving away from the explosion, but ultimately it's going to stop, just like if you throw a basketball up, goes higher, and it has to slow down because it's conservation of energy. Its potential energy is increasing, so its kinetic energy has to go down by the laws of physics. And so then someday it's all going to stop going out, it's going to come collapse back down to a cosmic basketball and boom, go again. And that's how they thought, that's the theory of how we got here by time and chance. And when it explodes and goes out, decides to be a planet, decides to create amino acids, decides to create a human being out of an amoeba, that's how we got here. Well, so they predicted, we're going to go and we're going to look far. The farther we see, we'll see that it's slowing down. It's not slowing down. All redshift experiments and everything that's been observed by the Hubbles and everything else is that the galaxies are accelerating in their expansion. Completely destroys the Big Bang theory. The Bible says that God has stretched out the heavens. In fact, it says that many, many times that it stretches out the heavens. The Bible tells us that if you were to go and look at the heavens, you would see them being expanded by the Word of God. And that was written before we had any of the telescopes. The Bible turns out to be true. The Big Bang theory made a prediction and it failed. They made a prediction about cosmic microwave background radiation. And they said the background radiation has to be so much to create the ability for the formation of galaxies. It has now been measured. It is way too small. It is impossible for galaxies to form. You know, what they found through science is that it's impossible. From new data, this is the BBC, British Broadcasting Company, on May 31, 2004, in the New Scientist, quoting a New Scientist article, from new data collected from a space probe examining the cosmic background radiation, astronomers estimate the universe is at least 156 billion light years wide. Actually, it's long been known that the universe was a lot wider than the 27.4 billion light years, because they say we're 15 billion years, or almost 15 billion years, so that means the whole universe width from this explosion should be, the total width should be twice that 15 billion. It's way, way more than that. The universe is much bigger. There's no way. There's no way it's true. According to researchers writing in the journal Physics Review Letters, the universe must have expanded much faster than light in its early stage. Well, by the laws of physics, it's impossible to travel faster than the speed of light. So now they're having all kinds of other problems. Helium is not per the theory. Massive galaxies should not exist at great distances. In fact, one of the missions of Hubble telescope that we spent all this money for was to go and find the edge of the universe. The Hubble Deep Field, at one point they pointed the Hubble telescope in the darkest part of the universe to take pictures to see the very beginning, and there would be no galaxies formed because it was the very beginning. There's no way that there could be any galaxies. They pointed a black spot to see the edge of the universe. And they pointed for hours and hours and hours and hours. The 1995 image that ranked as the deepest view of the cosmos showed billions and billions of more galaxies. And it came back shocked. Fully formed galaxies. Blew them away. Now, when they do find this evidence, do they say, okay, people, all you public school teachers, stop teaching this to your children and everything else? No, because the religious dogma doesn't let them do that. But you have to know, and you have to tell people that the evidence has destroyed the theory of the Big Bang. A planet should spin in the same direction. If it all got blown out, they should spin in the same direction. But God made Venus and Uranus and Pluto rotate backwards. All 156 moons in our solar system should orbit their planets in the same sense. If it all happened by flinging out by physics, all the moons would be spinning in the same direction. But more than 30 have backwards orbits. So the evolutionists could say, well, that's, you know, just the way certain planets spun off, their moons are going to go backwards, and we can figure out a reason why that would happen. Well, then God put Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus and Neptune that have moons traveling in both directions. So by the laws of physics, if we all blew out there, then all the planets should be spinning the same. They're not. All the moons should be spinning by the laws of physics around the same way. They're not. If they tried to make an excuse, God said, shh, put them both ways. Absolutely impossible. Unless in the beginning, God. And he knew, you know, in his infinite wisdom, he knew what we'd be cooking up in the 20th century. He goes, oh yeah? You know, and that's why we're going to conclude in Romans where, you know, Romans chapter 1 basically says, I left all the evidence there, people. You want to turn away from the truth? You want to turn away from in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Then in your wisdom you become a fool. Because the evidence is there. It goes on and on and on. And many scientists know the Big Bang is dead. In fact, quoting again from that other article, it is no wonder that 33 leading scientists have published an open letter to the scientific community rejecting the Big Bang. They refer to fudge factors such as hypothetical inflation idea, which needs a cosmic density 20 times larger than that required for the Big Bang to make light elements. You know, increasingly scientists are saying, I'm done going home at night knowing I'm doing a lie. You know, fine, send me your research money, tell me I have to believe this to stay tenured or whatever, but I'm going to put my name down here, it's a lie. And they're doing so. And we just have to realize that when they're refuting us. And it's much like the days of Galileo. And the reason why they want to keep it out of our school systems, they want intelligent design kept out of our school systems, is because they know these weaknesses. It's just like in Galileo's day, where the church, not the Bible, was saying that the earth is the center of the solar system. The Bible doesn't say that. The Catholic Church was saying that. And Copernicus and Galileo were saying, the evidence is saying that the sun is the center of the solar system. Well, in that day, the religious leaders, like the atheist religious leaders today, they would say, if you look through Galileo's telescope, we'll kill you. We'll burn you at the stake. They should have been able to say, see, truth, God is the God of truth. And truth should stand up. We should be able to know the truth. And so they should have been able to say, if they were so sure, go ahead and look through his telescope, because the evidence will say we're right if we're telling the truth. Well, that's why they can't let intelligent design and these arguments against Darwinian evolution and cosmic evolution to get into the school systems, because down deep they know it's a lie. And they don't want their lie to be exposed. They want to continue to have people and children believe that there is no God. They're just like the popes in the days of Galileo. Chapter 1, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So, when God created everything, the earth was not, when he breathed the earth into existence, it did not look like it looks today. It was when he first created the mass that would become the earth, that was floating around, it was, at that instant of time, without form and void, and darkness was hovering over the face of the deep. This brings up another thing that I have to deal with. That, you know, and there's many of you probably have heard Hugh Ross on the radio. He has a ministry called Reasons to Believe. And actually a correct title would be Reasons Not to Believe the Bible. Hugh Ross professes to be a Christian, professes to be consistent with the Bible and his teachings. He's not telling the truth when he says that, because he rejects the idea of a global flood. And the Bible clearly says there was a global flood. And there has to have been a global flood. And he teaches what's called the gap theory. He believes that we've been around for billions of years. We haven't been around for billions of years. And there's tons of scientific evidence to support that. And you can look through this and many other volumes. In fact, I wanted to say this is in the beginning. Compelling Evidence for Creation and the Flood, written by Dr. Walt Brown. He was an MIT Mechanical Engineering doctorate, taught at the Air Force Academy as a professor, and he left the Air Force to devote full-time, has been for over 20 years, devoting full-time to science associated with creation-evolution debate. And his website is www.creationscience.com. And you can read this book in an updated format on the web. And our handouts over there are from his book that you can download and cut and paste on the web. And with permission, we put it on our website, which is calvarypo.org. And he deals with this theory. He discusses the gap theory. And now let me just give you some background, because this is an issue that people will say, well, we can believe in the Bible and believe in billions of years. No, you can't. You can't. In fact, some people say, well, can I be a Bible-believing Christian and believe in evolution? No, you can't. Because you have to call Jesus a liar. You have to call the prophets and the apostles false prophets and false apostles. You have to believe that in what the biblical account is. So here's the gap theory. The gap theory is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then untold in the Genesis account was he also created animals, peoples, things, Satan, angels, all that stuff got created. And before you get to verse 2, those people all populated the world. All those animals lived and grew and died, and Satan fell and deceived humankind before Adam. Before Adam came into existence, Satan had deceived a pre-Adam race of people into sinning against God. God had to judge the whole world, trash the whole thing. And then what happens is that's why it says the earth was without form and void. They change it to say the earth became without form and void. So in other words, this pre-Adam race was judged by God, and God made the earth without form and void. And then he did a new creation at verse 3, where it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Does everybody understand that's what the gap theorists say? Now, the reason why they said that, and this did not even exist, it didn't become popular until 1814, when a Scottish theologian, Thomas Chalmers, came on the scene. And the reason why he came up with this is because it was the beginning hey, let's come up with some excuse that there's no God. You know, Darwinian kind of, Darwin came a little bit later, but, that thought that, is there any way that we could explain away the universe? And this fossil record, the geologists were saying, boy, this fossil record looks pretty old. And so then the Scottish theologian says, oh no, science is going to prove that the earth has been around for billions of years. And if you look at the genealogy of Genesis and Exodus, Genesis and stuff, then it's only about 6,000 years. And so if science is going to prove it's billions, we better find a place where there's billions of years. And the only place it fits is between verse 1 and 2. So he switched the Hebrew to say instead of the earth was without form and void, he says, well, it means became without form and void, and everybody died before that. The fossil record is the billions of years before the creation of Adam and Eve. It's a lie. It's believed by many people who call themselves Christians. It's called theistic evolution. I believe God used evolution to create all things, and it's not the truth. So, there's a handout over there of, is there a gap between verses 1 and 2? And the answer is no. Why no? Because if you look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, it says that in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. See, Genesis 1 says, on this day he did this, on this day he did that. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, it emphasizes, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It all got made in 6 days. All of it. And we're going to deal next week with the issue of the Scopes trial. About how long was that first day? A billion years, is what the evolutionists say. Words of Jesus were to the contrary. Jesus, in quoting the account of Adam and Eve, he says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. He was talking about Adam and Eve. the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve. Jesus is a liar if the gap theory is true. It makes, see, Satan, anyway, I'll skip that one verse. The Hebrew doesn't allow. When they say the earth became without form and void, the word there is heya. 98% of the time, out of the 4,900 times used, the word was translated was. It can be translated became, but it has to be so clear in the context. And there is not a single Hebrew person that in all of antiquity, it was never translated became until this guy came along looking for billions of years between Genesis 1 and 1 and 1-2. And then turn to Isaiah 45:18. I want to let you see one other argument that's used by Hugh Ross and others that is just a twisting of the Scripture. And I really do want you to be equipped for this because you should know the truth of the Scriptures and be able to rest in the account that's given to us by God through Moses. By the way, when you're turning to Isaiah 45:18, you have to realize that Moses received this on Mount Sinai, where there is to this day in Saudi Arabia a mountain that is called to this day Jabal al-Atz, which is Mountain of the Law. They call it that, Mountain of the Law. It happens to be burned on the top of it. There happens to be archaeological evidence all around the foothills that completely coincide with the Exodus biblical account, to the point where the Saudi Arabians have put this barbed wire fence and armed guards around it to keep the world out so that they don't see that it actually happened. Because it's kind of a problem to have a Jewish history on a Saudi Arabian Arab country. And so here this God who brought them miraculously out of Egypt, the fire burned the top of the mountain as the account says in Scripture. Moses is talking to God. Moses wasn't there when the creation was made, but he was talking to the one who was. And God told Moses, write this. This is how it happened. And when Moses is writing, a day is a day. A night is a night, 24-hour day. God isn't telling him something contrary to, he's not telling him something from back in, a day, the first day was a billion years. He could have told Moses that. But he told Moses, on the first day, I did this. Second day, I did this. So, in Isaiah 45:18, it says, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain. Now that in vain, in the English, was translated from the same Hebrew word in Genesis 1:1 that was translated without form in Genesis 1:2, I should say. And so then Hugh Ross and these other guys say, see, God did not create the earth without form. And in Genesis 1:2 it said, without form, so it had to have become that way, because he didn't create it that way in the beginning. But let's look at it. Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord and there is no other. Now, you have to really kind of think along with this. But God is saying here, I didn't create it to just leave it without form and void. I created it to make it in a form to create life. See, that's the rest of the account of Genesis 1, is to create the life that's on the earth. And you don't have to have a gap theory where it goes from being populated to, because he created it to give life, and Genesis 1-2 is not there yet. It's not to life yet. And that's why he took it from without form and made it. And then finally, Genesis 1:28, we have a King James problem that contributes to this debate. It's the King James translators took a Hebrew word, and only here and only in Genesis 9, nowhere else in the Bible do they translate the Hebrew word replenish. So and that's why modern translations don't say replenish, because that's not the meaning of the Hebrew word. In Genesis 1:28, it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, and our Bibles, the New American Standard, New King James, say, fill the earth. But the old King James says, and multiply and replenish the earth. See right there, replenish. Used to have people, they all died, made the fossil record, because Hugh Ross and these others, they don't believe in the biblical account of the flood, where the billions of buried and fossilized things were created in a very short period of time during the global flood, which we're going to get to here in a few weeks, and there was a global flood. It says, what it really is saying in the Hebrew, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Adam and Eve, before the fall, were supposed to reproduce, have children, enjoying God on earth. It was going to be heaven on earth forever had they not sinned. And God blessed them. And with that possibility, they chose to rebel against God. Going to verse, back to Genesis 1:1, we are going to be not getting through much of Genesis 1 today. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, with no gap between here and two of billions of years. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it wasn't sunlight, it wasn't moonlight. This was the Scopes trial issue. But it was a light. Well, you can't have a light without the sun. You know, and we know that the earth, when he changed the earth from being without form and void, and he brought it together, and he brought light on that earth, the earth was spinning. And that there was an earth, there was a light that was stationary to give the earth day and night, although it wasn't the sun. How could that be? Well, it's going to happen again. It says in Revelation 21, verse 21, the 12 gates of the eternal heaven with pearls and stuff, but I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, Jesus, are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. See, if we can't, I'm not going to believe in a universe where there could have been a light shining on the earth. Okay. Then disbelieve in God, don't believe in Jesus as your Savior, don't recognize that there's a God that created you, turn away from God, and then you'll be in utter darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth forever with Satan. But the eternal heaven is where there's no sun, there's no moon, because the light of God shines on the inhabitants where there is no night, there is only day. There is no tears, there is no sin, there is no rebellion against God, there is only joy, there's no thievery, there's no murder, there's no heartache, there's no disease. If you want to go there, then accept that God could, if he can put together a cerebral palsy brain and let somebody walk, then he can put a light for the earth. He can create. He can save my soul. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. There was a night, there was a day, there was a dark. And they don't even totally understand why the sky should be truly dark at night. But God made it so that there's a difference between light and dark, and God called the light day. And the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And the new translations, because it's a better translation, the firmament, you know, has a weird kind of connotation in our mind. It meant something different in King James' day than it does now. The true meaning is expanse. It's not this mystical little vapor thing that was up in the atmosphere, which is what we think. But we'll cover that more next week, because I'm going to just conclude by let's turning to Romans chapter 1, verse 18, because I want to take a little bit of time. We're going to cover it more when we get to the flood of Noah. And you know, and as you're turning to Romans 1:18, you know, just for all of us, when I became a Christian, I became a Christian with evolution on the mind. I was raised in the American public school system. I mean, what else do you do? But I believe we got here through evolution. But even when I'll tell this account again on the flood, and there's a friend here that just happens to be here today that plays a part in this story from my Navy days, Kent Curry. But when I was up at 6,000 feet west of Denver, and I was on a school outing, a school project, we were making topo maps of a place called Red Rocks, west of Denver. Back in those days, you'd do a project where you use trigonometry and everything, make topo maps. I bet they don't do that too much anymore. But I kicked over this sandstone rock that had a fossil in it. And I thought, how could a fossil be up here? because you're pretty high at 6,000 feet. And how could this fossil have gotten here? And even though I'm evolutionary and I go to my teacher and say, look at what I found. Oh yeah, that's a fossil. There's lots of them around here. But how did this get here? And I thought at the time, maybe that biblical account, maybe that flood thing. I've heard about that flood thing, that Noah flood. Maybe somehow, I still can't figure it out, but somehow. Then I became a Christian. And I realized that this is a miraculous book. I realized there's no way man could have really cooked all this stuff together. I knew it had to come from God. And so by faith, that day I became a Christian. Actually, I remember it was really the day I bought my first Bible, and I went to my barracks room in Vallejo, California, and I sat down and read In the Beginning God, breathed the breath of life into man, that it just, evolution was gone. This God that saved me and has come inside of my life and changed me, He's real. I didn't decide. I mean, it's not me. There's something real that's changing me. And that real God that can change me has more than enough power to create the universe in a flash. As I've often said when people do come to me, you think he did it in 6 days? I go, I have a hard time with it. I can't figure out what took him so long. Because he saved my, I know what he's done. So then I said, okay, God, I know it's the truth. I know the whole world was flooded. And I remember that fossil from school. And so I know it, but how did it happen? And I would talk to everybody I knew, including my friend Kent Curry, sitting over there with Juanita. And we used to sit around, as we both served in the nuclear Navy. We were both stationed in San Diego. It was just before I met Kent, met Juanita. In fact, Kent was in Juanita's in our wedding. And so years and years later, we're both out of the Navy, and he goes, Kevin, I think I found a book that'll answer your question. Because I was obsessed with it. I know it's the truth, but I'd love to explore and know how the flood occurred. And so he said, and it was an earlier version of this book. And if you want to know how the flood occurred, which is going to, you want to do it before we get into the study, you can go on web and read what is an absolutely rock-solid, scientific, biblically sound explanation for the flood. And that is, and he predicted, email that he sent me and others were what they would find on Stardust when they were opening up the Stardust probe to find minerals. Impossible to find minerals in the comet tail dust, according to evolutionary theory. He predicted they would find minerals because it came from the Earth. And so I say that to again just summarize as we go here. We can trust the Bible. People have stumbled in the past by going, oh, science is going to prove it wrong. Then what am I going to do? Well, if science could prove it wrong, then we've got a problem. But it's not happening. Just rest in the fact it's not happening. The science is proving the authenticity of the Word of God. And when Jesus safely comes to safely deliver our souls into heaven, we'll only regret that we questioned His Word. And we will have great joy if we just believe and trust in His Word in the midst of this lying generation that we're in. And that's what Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in our schools, in our media, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, and God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen in the creation, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one will stand before God without excuse, because the universe testifies of an almighty, powerful God." And what do people do? Because although they knew God, they knew there must be really somebody out there that's the designer. They did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Are you wise today, or professing to be wise? You're wise If you cling on to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you cling on to the reality that God created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. And He actually created this wonderful place called earth that is unique in its ability to have life. And He put life on it. And He put life on it, especially for humans, to enjoy the life that He created, to take care of the life that He created, and for those human beings to experience His love forever is what He created us for. But He gave us the choice. You don't want to love me. You don't want the love. You don't want me. You can make another choice and you can depart from me. And so man chose to sin. But He made a way for us to get back to Him through Jesus Christ. And the whole history that starts in Genesis, Abraham, I'm going to use you. One of your descendants is going to be this one that's going to save man, that's going to bring him into the ability to have a relationship with God again. And he lays it all out in history with prophets to prove that he exists, he's powerful, he knows the future from the past, so that we could know that we're not following some lame Buddhist, Hinduist, American, Native American, Indian philosophy that is bankrupt in the ability to save the soul of man from the effects of sin, which is death. And so if you have not ever given your life to Jesus, and you want to turn your life to Him, and you've been hindered by thinking that it's all a fairy tale that's in here, then please, don't join with the foolish that knowingly turn away from the truth, but instead turn to the Savior of your soul. Is there anybody that wants to do that today? Then just raise your hand. We'll pray with you afterwards and encourage you as you walk in the faith. Is there anybody? Okay. Well then, let's stand and pray. Father, we so love you. And I pray, Lord, if there's even somebody out there that knows that they really are a sinner, have never come to faith in you, that Lord, they could just join in this prayer as they draw close to you. Father, we see what an awesome, powerful God you are. Your creation and the diversity of life and the miracle of DNA and every living thing, the perfect harmony of even the ability for food to grow and man to eat. And the chemistry associated is just testifies that there has to be a God. And Lord, that God has to be you, and we have sinned against you. And Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus to make it so that we could be made righteous again. That the filthiness of our sin should separate us from you forever. That we've rebelled against you, and yet, God, while we were yet sinners, you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us that we might be forgiven if we believe. And Father, we do want to believe in a deeper way. And I pray for your saints here today that, Lord, they could be strengthened to know that your word is true and that your way is true and Jesus is true. We thank you for loving us and saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You lead me, and I will follow you. will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
And so awesome to know that we can follow a powerful God, a loving God, a real God, a God that tells us the truth. And his word stands as a rock that has worn out many a hammer. And it's wearing out the hammers of the world today. And it's time to be bold and proclaim that truth to your friends and neighbors while there's time. God bless you. Keep you in his care this week. Any help on teardown would be greatly appreciated. God bless you.